Hey, help me with this box, would you?
What's with all the boxes?
We're moving.
What, like Billy Joel? Moving out?
Not exactly. We're just moving our video content channel.
Okay, what's the deal? And by the way, this box is filled with pictures of Donald Sutherland.
Okay, we'll just leave that one there. We are moving due to the ever-changing policy restrictions and community guidelines that YouTube implements to its users without their consent, sometimes blocking entire channels without notice.
Wow, that's disgusting. Okay, where are we setting up shop?
Exactly. It is disgusting. And that's why we're moving our video content over to VidMe.
Sounds great. What's the address?
vid.me/steelplazapodcast.
That's easy.
It is. But with any move, we need your help. To bring you longer and higher quality content, we need you to hit the follow button underneath our logo on our new VidMe site.
What about our other streaming formats?
Well, you can still find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, Facebook, and now we are being syndicated on Alexa.
Alexa, show me an awesome podcast. Hey, there we are.
That's us. Okay, are you ready?
Yep, let's go.
Approaching Steel Plaza. Please stand clear of the doors.
Steel Plaza Podcast 303, East Main Street, from right here in Carnegie in the studio. As always, Rayanne Rose and Jay Weaver of Sound Color Productions. Today, we have a special guest, a woman that went down the rabbit hole and maybe pressed on the looking glass a little too hard. She was blocked from Facebook, blocked from YouTube, based on her findings that we presume. And we're going to talk a little bit about how it all started and where it ended. With us today, Master Sergeant Amy Rose.
Hello.
So, can you tell us a little bit about what happened here?
Well, just like everybody else, you know, I'm who am I? You know, we see all what we see on the news. Everybody believes everything that we see on the news, pretty much. We all do.
And then sight unseen, we just take it for granted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you trust in what is being portrayed to you. And you know, I was taking my kids to school and I heard it on the radio, and I was like, wow, what happened in Vegas? And so I started watching all this stuff. And, like, you know, when you watch something and it just doesn't kind of, something's wrong.
Something's
like
weird.
You're watching it and it's like, wow, that looks kind of weird, right?
Something doesn't add up.
So then there's, like, this eyewitness and you're like, then there's that eyewitness and you're like, what the hell is that? So then I started just, like, kind of digging around and just there's not a single person, at least not a single honest American, who can look at any of that stuff that they're portraying to us and say, oh, that's totally legit. I believe everything they're saying. There's nobody that can say that, honestly.
I would say it right.
There's no way. And I'm like, there's got to be something. So I start looking around, and I'm like, you know, you find little things that just don't, none of the story adds up. And they just keep making it worse and worse and worse.
The story that we're referring to here is the Las Vegas story, which was in the most recent news, and it's still in the news, and it seems like a never-ending, changing story. So that's what we're talking about today.
So, I mean, what really got the ball rolling, though, is when I started watching these eyewitnesses. And then, first of all, like, you're looking, like, there's 58, 59 people, counting the little Patsy up there on the 32nd floor. All these people supposedly got shot. People got shot in the head. I mean, you know, people get shot in the head. Blood is going everywhere. There's going to be blood everywhere. There's going to be bullet holes everywhere. Did you hear the sounds of the firing on that stuff? Where are the bullet holes? Come on.
And I guess we should also mention that you are in the health field.
Yeah. I've been a nurse for over 25 years. I've been, you know, I've been in the military for 19 years on October 18th. As an EMT, you know, working in our clinic at the 9/11, and you know, you see this stuff, and just and going from, I guess, you know, that's what made me like dig into it, going from a nursing perspective and a scientific perspective, and you don't really have to have a degree to look at this stuff and say, hey, something's not, this isn't right. Where are the dead bodies? Not that we want to see it, but we kind of want to see it. To show us something, like leak something at least for a second, like they did with Paddock's little death photo, which Don't even get me started on that.
Oh, with the position guns. At least I thought that was my
thing. That whole picture is wrong, and I could go for a day telling you what's wrong with that.
Okay.
My whole theory can start with that. But anyway, like, just looking at all these pictures, and there's no blood. Nowhere. There's nothing. I mean, you might see, like, one picture somewhere that has a little blotch of some reds on the ground, and they light it up just perfectly, a little photo op there, shine the light on it so it looks pretty. It could be fruit juice. We don't know what it is.
And you know, being in the military myself, I know what actual blood looks like and what it doesn't look like.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like, cranberry, mm-mm, you know, Gatorade.
Mm-mm. It's like thick. It's like an oily. It's, even if it has soaked into something, you're looking like people got shot in their head. You're looking at blood clot. You're going to have brain, bone. There's going to be stuff. There's going to be gross stuff. And someone would, every person, 22,000 people, not counting, I'm guessing that's just the concert goers. This isn't even counting staff, the people that are working the place, the people that are just surrounding Las Vegas that aren't even in the concert. Everybody's got a phone. You know they do. And they're all up like this. And nobody got a picture of a bullet hole. Nobody got a picture of blood. Nothing.
Or what about the glass that this mastermind, that he blew through some earthquake-proof glass?
Yeah,
where
like,
the glass?
What,
didn't they
thick,
hear
yeah.
that? Did they not hear
so,
that?
I'm sorry, get me up to speed. I'm not privy to what's going on because I don't know anything. What's your argument? Are you saying it's fake?
In my opinion, and everyone's going to call me crazy, but I have theories about a whole bunch of stuff, but it's a complete false flag. 100%.
You think it's fake?
Absolutely.
The whole thing?
No, I don't believe that everyone was an actor, but I believe a big majority of them were.
Can you explain to us like what a false flag is and maybe how you went about, like when you saw this, what do you think, why was it done then? What's your theory? Those two questions I have.
Well, why people do half the stuff they do, God only knows. But, like, false flag, I mean, they have, like, an agenda. And they, meaning, I don't know who it is. I mean, it's government. It's CIA. It's FBI. It's whoever. And what they get out of it is they make money. Okay, so there's Michael Chertoff. That piece of shit has been making money off the war since 9/11 started. You know, he makes money because, you know, he produced those freaking body scanners after 9/11. He was the head of whatever. My brain isn't going to work right now. But there's so many different people. You know, Hildebeest is going to benefit from stuff. And she was right on the freaking Twitter. I didn't even know what was going on. I was looking at Twitter pages, and she had already posted stuff. We need gun laws. Gun laws.
You're referring to with her. Okay, I didn't know who we were talking about.
Her. Pete, when I say we don't know who's benefiting from it, but they're doing this stuff. Who benefited from 9/11? Illuminati. Illuminati gains from everything. Illuminati's involved in everything in Vegas. They own half of Vegas. And everybody knows that. That's proven. I mean, everybody who has money is involved in the Illuminati. You know, Trump is going to benefit from this. It's the government. Everybody's benefiting from it. But it's just that we don't know what was the purpose of it. Like, what? I mean, I'm not even saying what was Stephen Paddock's motive.
Oh, yeah.
What was the motive of the whole goddamn thing? Here. What was the motive of 9/11? We don't know. We'll never know.
And the thing about tragedies is they make presidents look more presidential.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, presidents, they have so many things going on. So they just get spun in circles like, a pinata at a kid's birthday mm-hmm. party. They wake up in the morning and they get led by the hand. Hey, this happened. We got to do this. We got to do this. You got to say this here. You got to say this here. So I'm, you know, fairly certain that he had no idea about it.
Nothing
and was just
like
said, you know, told to say, hey, do this. And then right back to another crisis that was mm-hmm. brought to him on a plate. Say, hey, now this is happening.
Yeah. What you brought was interesting about the gun laws. I mean, all of these people died. 58 people died. Mm-hmm. And immediately, it has to be gun reform.
Oh, of
and
course.
Then the conversation changed away from the focus. I don't know if you agree with that, but
absolutely.
It's like follow the money.
That's exactly what it was. And that's basically like false flag. They have this agenda. They, meaning I don't know who they is. It could be anybody. Anybody. You know, they have this agenda. I personally have a theory of who they is. And it has to have something to do with the gun laws, because now when you hear every time they talk about it, or you see the eyewitnesses, we need to do something about this. We need our gun laws. That's all you hear. They don't care that people just died. They're not talking about, oh, I just lost. We need gun laws. That's all you hear. That's it.
We should also mention, when you say eyewitnesses, we want to use heavy air quotes with that, mm-hmm. Because, you know, you want to talk a little bit about, you know, the actors.
Yes. And that's when, I honestly don't think that I saw, and you know, if you notice, there weren't that many people talking about what they saw. There weren't very many eyewitnesses in those heavy air quotes. There weren't very many, and they were all so freaking full of shit. Every single one of them. And every one of them, you can Google, it's not like it's difficult. You can Google them. Brian Claypool, he's Fox, CNN reporter. Look him up. Anybody on the planet can look him up and see. Go on his Facebook page. I friended him just to see. And then I went
Did
on and blasted him?
Him.
Oh, no, I didn't poke him. I straight up friended him. Hey, man, what's up? Don't think I didn't. I did. And then I went on and I checked out all his stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, it's right in. They put it right in your face. Right in your face. Eric Paddock. Crisis actor t-shirt right there.
Let's talk about the
right
t-shirt
in your face.
Wearing.
But his t-shirt, and whenever he was doing the one report, it has this place. He has a gray t-shirt on, and there's a place in Orlando, Florida, that is supposedly known for having crisis actors. Not all crisis actors are bad. Like, FEMA uses them for drills and stuff, and we do that with...
We use them,
you know,
too.
To
yep.
You know, you practice your skill like you do, like, you know, you have to... people pretend like they're injured or dying, and you use gory, gross stuff to make it look real, and they can be beneficial. In the Las Vegas case, they're not, but you know, they're known to have this, supposedly. And I was, you know, searching into that, and like on their board of like directors or whatever, like their main PR person is Sarah Brady, and Sarah Brady just happens to be the main PR person for Pulse Nightclub in Orlando.
Whoa.
So there's that. And then, of course, their main contributors are Live Nation. Live Nation produced this...
Concert.
This concert. So, I mean, it's just, there's so many connections. And, like, I don't know that I have the connections to be able to dig so far into finding... You know, they're like, how do you know that that's a crisis act? I'm looking. Give me a minute. I'll figure it out. But it was connections, though. How is that just such a coincidence? Come on. And he's so Fruit Loopy anyway. Just look at him. You don't even have to, like, you can look at him and just say, what is wrong with you? And every time the reporter was asking him, tell us something about your brother. And there's just nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
I saw that.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
He's like, he's never done anything. And he doesn't look like a... tactical mastermind, you know, bolter of doors, you know, gun... He learned it all on YouTube. He has no military training.
Right.
So you feel like that's unbelievable, too.
Oh, my gosh. This guy's 64 years old. They're trying to portray him as some alcoholic, womanizing gambler.
Yes, he was with a prostitute.
Right.
Then, like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I see.
No military history. Never had, and his brother said, never had guns, never knew anything about guns. Within the past year, he all of a sudden becomes Rambo.
Yes.
And John McClane.
Becomes a mastermind at bomb producing, because he's got tannerite and he's got ammonium, whatever
nitrate.
That's nitrate in his car. And if he didn't put them together because he knew that they could detonate each other. And really? The guy's 64 years old.
Well, I mean, you saw The Matrix. They just plug it right in your brain.
Yeah.
I know Kung Fu.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't tried to show us that yet.
Yeah.
God.
And The Matrix. There's a lot of unbelievable stuff with the whole story. And I do want to talk about alleged actors and how you had sort of a back and forth dialogue with them online, and then they came back to almost attack you.
Well, after that happened is when all when I was stirring the shit pot, I like to call it. Well, I mean, just looking into it, and I really didn't even start doing that until I started. I mean, I never even heard the word crisis actor ever before until this Las Vegas thing. I never heard of it. And then, like, if you start reading some of the other stuff, like with Aurora and, Sandy Hook and all that. Sandy Hook. Oh my God, that is just ridiculous. There, I mean, they had crisis actors being interviewed on a green screen for the news station. Come on,
right?
Wow.
So I mean, that was pissing me off, and I'm like, this is what the media is giving people who are trusting them. That we're trusting them to tell us the truth of what's going on. That we're trusting them with our lives, basically. I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. And I'm getting pissed off. So I'm looking. So I start Googling, you know, crisis actors Vegas. And, of course, there's a 50 bazillion people who are like this and this and this. And then, like, some of it actually really kind of makes sense. And then I see this bullshit. I'm not going to mention his name because I'll probably get in trouble or get, you know, slander or something. But this one kid, and I'm sitting at work, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm seeing this video, and this kid... He's like 30 years old, I guess. Nice looking kid. He's got this long, pretty blonde hair. And his little girlfriend's sitting next to him, trying to squeak out a tear so hard. I'm like, come on, girl, you can do it. One, just come on. And, you know, and he's, oh, you know, I survived. They shot me. Okay, so there, he was saying that he got, okay. So it's so ridiculous. They said he was shooting, supposedly, like, these rifles. There's all these different weapons in there, right? And they're all rifles. The only small handgun, it was a little revolver that's way on the other side of the thing that he supposedly shot himself with, right?
It's like a Walter PPK, James Bond.
No, it's not like a drop of blood on it or nothing. It's just way on the other side of the room. But that's what, yeah, that was, like, the smallest thing there, right? But supposedly this kid gets shot by, like, an AR-15. Which you're talking like 3-inch bullet, right? Maybe like 1/4 inch in the back of his head. Okay, so this is like maybe a couple days later, and he's sitting up in his bed and chit-chatting with his girlfriend. Oh, yeah, and you know, he's living life now. Perfectly. No black eyes. Looks like he's well rested. And I'm getting more and more pissed off the more I hear him talk. The more pissed off I'm getting, because I'm like, you just got shot in the back of your head, and I'm waiting for the interviewer to say
he's having a latte.
Where is that? Let's see it.
Chilling.
Like, you're gonna be missing some hair. You're gonna be missing some scalp.
At a minimum, hair.
Yeah.
Maximum. You know? There's an absolute.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. Okay. So even this interviewer, and he's like explaining, yes, it went here, and it came out about 3 inches later. He's like, I guess the point of directory. I'm like, well, maybe trajectory. Get your lines right, buddy.
Rectory. The point
Make
of
sure
the rectory.
You get your lines right here. And Liz's little girlfriend's still trying to squeak out a tear over there, blowing her nose every 2 seconds. But, you know, and he's like, and he doesn't want to show the interviewer his head. And then you can tell she doesn't even believe him, because she's like, and you can hear, you can't see her, but you can hear her. She's like, where again is it?
The interviewer.
And he goes like this. And that's all. And he's got all this hair, beautiful hair. His hair's longer than mine. Beautiful hair, nothing. His hair's not even matte. He's got hair there. You still have a head there. You got it.
How do you
by a rifle.
Like, what about you as a nurse, too? I mean, how do these people get into the hospital, and are all the doctors, nurses, hospitals in with this, too?
I don't
what
know
are they treating?
How that works. I don't know how it works. I do know that he is friends with the surgeon, because I was sneaking on all their Facebook pages, the whole family. So, yeah, I'm getting pissed. And, you know, that was like the end of the thing. Like, he doesn't show anything. There's nothing. But I do see a picture.
So you think he was a crisis actor?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And his girlfriend.
You cannot get shot in the back of your head with a shotgun bullet 3 inches. I don't care if you got shot in the head with that little revolver that was in his room. You're going to lose some of your head back there. He's saying that it went through the skin and skimmed his little skull there and came out like a little needle. And he says...
He was injected.
He says blood was spurting. And I'm like, dude, did you just grow an artery on the back of your scalp? And I'm like sitting here screaming at my computer, okay?
Where was this interview?
It was it's on. I don't know. It
was
in the
hospital.
No, it was at.
I mean, but who was the interviewer?
It's referenced. I have it somewhere. I can pull it up on the. It's like the only interview that he has out. It's just right. So bad. I don't know who the person is that interviewed him. I can find it though, and we can reference it if we need to. But yeah, I mean, he's just, and he won't show it. There is a picture. It's a very nice, a lovely picture of the back of his head. And you can see his little girlfriend with her nasty fingernails, and she's lifting up all of his hair. and she's showing you these two little baby scabs. There's one over here. There's one over here. Little tiny scabs. There's no swelling. It looks like the dude probably fell, maybe. But there's two little perfect scabs about 3 inches apart. A little diagonal. Like someone just...
Maybe the surgeon did it.
There's no blood in his hair. No hair missing whatsoever. So you're telling me that this bullet just kind of skimmed through there. But he even admits, whenever we had our little snafu, the brother even said, one of the brothers told me, well, it did, you know, crack his skull, and he had brain bleeding and brain swelling, and his eyes are crossed. I'm like, his eyes do not look like they're crossed. I'm sorry. They're not crossed. He looks perfectly fine. He's moving his head like this, talking. He looks perfectly fine.
It's very animated. Mm-hmm. Very animated.
Seriously? And you're telling... Come on. You haven't seen it. What I'm telling you, does that sound like bullshit to you?
My question is, what is the... Being devil's advocate, I mean, that one interview, you extrapolate all this other stuff through. How do you know that interview is not fake?
Oh,
and
it
in and of itself...
Oh, I'm
for
sure
their own
is.
Personal gain.
And we're going to find out
well, I know that
a
is.
Little bit more about it. And we're going to go a little deeper down the rabbit hole right back after this.